Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
I think it took a lot of people a little while to understand what it takes to win a title now. After having gone through that, you get to the Kevin Durant thing, and everybody shovels double the amount on this guy for having joined a team that's a super team and indestructible and going for three straight titles, all this stuff. And what came with it was a soft reputation. So he decided that he had to go out last night and try and prove that wrong. But when you hear Bob Myers get that emotional about things, it sounds like guilt. It sounds like inside the organization, there were people wondering, Kevin probably ought to get out there. Think he can do it. Whether it's inside or outside, one way or the other, that seemed like an organization that might have not done right by their guy.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Mike Florio is going to join us at 10. We'll do the midway at 10:40. David Dusek of Golf Week will give you your full and complete and informative and entertaining preview to the U.S. Open. That's at 11. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is our number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. And you can send a text to 67011. And when you do that, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You must download the radio.com app.
Adeloy Jimenez went yard at home. That ball.
When it goes, it goes, man.
Hard. Yeah. Did you see the marks that got left on that thing?
Yeah.
You got to hit it hard to make that kind of mark.
That's serious stuff from him. The last two have averaged like 470 or something.
See his last like two couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Hitting the ball a little bit, making contact, dropping for a lot of power. That team's a hell of a lot of fun.
So when you download the radio.com app, that will allow you to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You can watch us in the video feed. Brian Gertsch directs it at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Jay Zawoski, our producer, Rick Camp, and the executioner, Ray Diaz, in the back doing what he does. If you're just joining us, the Bears are now down to two kickers in the mix.
Yes.
So it's Elliot Fry and it's Eddie Pinheiro.
Yes.
One, two.
Thank you, Mike. That's because no longer in the mix is Chris Blewett. Apparently yesterday they had another one of these sort of dry fire exercises and all three missed their game winners in one fashion or another.
Yeah, you're going to hear from Matt Nagy in a little bit here on the show. He talked at length about Bears kickers, their issues, the issues and how they're affecting the team and his brain and sports writers' brains. But here's what we know. Eddie Pinheiro missed his and stoinked it off the upright. Chris Blewett missed it wide left. Elliot Fry missed it wide right. And they cut the guy who missed it left, not the guy who hit the upright. And you would think that after all of this, you know, after the near year, 6 months, 8 months that we've been at, it feels like a little bit longer than that too, that you've been from the double doinkage of one Cody Parkey, from the Today Show broadcast and the car wash that he did on national media, that you'd cut the guy that hit the upright if all of them are equal. But apparently the Bears are telling you that they're not.
Oh, they've got more information than just the one kick. Come on.
Do they?
Of course they do.
No, do they? Because they had back-to-back-to-back misses of 40-yard kicks. And I tell you this, it has now become a point of whether it matters or not, the fact that it's reached this level of national point and laugh at this really great team that has a kicking issue and is dealing with it this way, it has now become just as likely that either Eddie Pinheiro or Elliot Fry or Chris Blewett gets re-signed or Kicker X just gets pulled off a roster or Matt Bryant comes out of nowhere and kicks. The Bears kicker right now is whoever they pick, and it doesn't matter one way or another.
This segment's brought to you by Comcast Business. Every day, Comcast Business is helping businesses big and small go beyond the expected to do the extraordinary, because beyond a simple transaction, there is making a customer for life. Comcast Business, beyond fast. Take your business beyond at ComcastBusiness.com. I embraced and applauded Matt Nagy for owning the kicking thing, for not shying away from it, for doing the 43-yard little kickoff thing as a mordant homage. And that's cool. That's great. It's saying you're not going to run from it. They're going to talk about it. He's happy to joke about it. But at some point, it's starting to look a little needy. At some point, how does that continue to turn it into a thing? You can't now decide to do the opposite. I'm not saying he was wrong. I'm not blaming him. I'm not changing my mind. I still like the way he handled it. But you also can't back away from the fact that with every day that goes by, with every new kicking name, and with every transaction, it becomes bigger and more of a thing. And like you say, there are other teams around the league that are wondering, what the hell's going on in Chicago?
The other teams, other media outlets, other national writers, and it doesn't necessarily matter what people think outside that organization about how they're dealing with the issue. It certainly won't matter to those inside. But it does matter that it's risen to that level of scrutiny. And don't you think, too, that regardless of whatever kicker comes in here and takes a job, that you're just, and regardless of the process that they used to get here, honest as it was, self-reflective as it was, a little bit self-denigrating as it was, you know, you still have to come out of it with a kicker. And regardless of who it is, maybe save Robbie Gould, which I still don't think is happening, you're going to spend the entire preseason, every kick of the opener against Green Bay, just wondering if that guy's good enough. That's all you're going to be doing. That's all you're going to spend your time thinking.
They couldn't put this thing away. And it's like no good deed goes unpunished in this. Everything they're trying to do, and it's the old rule, if you have three kickers, you don't have a kicker. And if you have five kickers, you don't have a kicker. And they added a kicking coach.
Yep.
I mean, if you wanted to do a parody of a response to a missed kick, wouldn't it look a little like this?
The kicking coach, the mental skills coach, the long snapping coach. I mean, it would be the multi-pronged effort to find a kicker.
You know what they have? They have a kicking infrastructure.
You need one. You have to have one in this day and age. You got to get them on the Rapsodo. You got to get them on the Kinetrax.
Are they going to have a lab?
You got to get a kicking lab. Yeah, you have to have a kicking lab where you test all kinds of different kickers against each other.
The problem is all the guys they've tried made it blow up.
What happened to the lab? It's gone. Yeah, this is starting to get farcical. It's starting to get to the point where it's the classic needless expenditure of energy. It's like the end of a Fawlty Towers episode.
Where everything's burning around John Cleese.
Right, doors are slamming and people are
screaming.
And he
keeps demanding that it's not his fault the entire time.
His face is turning red.
Well, and that's going to be the issue here is regardless, and this is what I mean for Bears fans and even for players, I think, to a point, is regardless of who they pick as their kicker, you're still going to be looking, you know, so you're going to have the arms interlocked on the sideline just praying that thing goes in, because it's gone on long enough to make you think that there's not enough trust in whomever they end up picking in the evaluation process itself.
708 texter says, just please, Bears, go get the fat vodka drinking cigar smoking Polish guy. He can still kick.
Well, Jay is right here. Jay,
I know.
Of course he can still kick. It's just we can't lose him.
Right, he's too busy producing our show. I mean, it's a lovely idea.
And
but
he quit smoking years ago, kind of, sort of.
I'm more of a whiskey guy, but everything else checks out.
Yeah, so it's a great idea, but you know, Jay is unavailable. We're not going to allow him to become a free agent for those purposes. Now, I think we should hear from some of the parties involved.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff from Matt Nagy. There's some interesting stuff from his perspective on what it means to have a conversation like this, like out loud and in the open, and also have to watch it come down. I mean, this is, like you say, they created a competition scenario that affected the rest of the team maybe as much as the kickers themselves. I mean, you don't put them out there for a 43-yard kick for no reason. You put them out there to remind everybody else what it is that didn't get done last year, and so that they know, here's the job in front of you.
This is going to be like end up with a code red on Private Pile.
It's like forced trauma is what it is. It's kind of, it's bizarre. And I, like you, I applaud the fact that they're ready to embrace this and that they have, they've realized that there's no other choice than to say, here's where we failed last year and here's what we believe we're capable of doing, regardless of the fact that we've got some of the best 11 on defense, some of the best 11 we can find on offense.
And a great question here from the 630. So if in fact, or excuse me, 309 texter, if and when a decent kicker gets cut, and he has a choice of teams, might he just decide the whole Bears thing is too much of a bother? No, that's a great question. If you're talking about the human being involved, obviously these are coveted jobs.
Yeah.
But if somebody does have a choice of jobs, like, I'm not dealing with all of that. I don't need that kind of pressure on me.
Let's get to Matt Nagy and how he's dealing with it after the update.
What went through your mind when the three kickers all missed in a row?
Yeah. Whatever went through your mind went through my mind.
Can we write that? Can we write what went through my mind?
Yeah, just say you're thinking of it. Yeah, no, I mean, that's about as real as it gets. They were 0 for 3 out there. And for today, that's not good. I mean, we can't have that. We're going to figure this thing out, but 0 for 3 today, no good.
Matt Nagy saw it, and oof. I never like hearing a writer ask, can I write that? But now I understand what meant by if it went to kind of...
Zackles.
Yes, that's the best. Can you write what actually went through your mind?
Right. I mean, that's what Nagy said. He said, whatever went through your mind went through mine. So the question was, well, all right, I'll just write what went through my mind. It was death and destruction. It was mayhem. There were a lot of swear words, and I'm just going to write it like you thought it.
And doesn't this mean more because they're good?
Of course it does.
That's what is the backdrop of all of this. Are their aspirations?
When you cut Robbie Gould, when you let go of Robbie Gould and let him walk, and you brought in Connor Barth, and you traded for Aguirre, you know, when you did all this stuff, it was when the Bears didn't really have any expectations. They were just dealing with John Fox as best they could and biding their time until he had to leave and trying to find a quarterback that really mattered. Of course, it was just kind of, it was nothing then. And Ryan Pace was able to use those years to buy him a little bit more time to hit the rebuild button, which kind of extends GMs. And that's not, I don't mean to be completely cynical about it. I just, that's a plan of action for a general manager in sports these days. It's not unique to the NFL. It's just how things work. When you hit the rebuild button, you get, you know, your second contract and you get to move on. So kickers at that point don't really, they're like bullpen arms. They're just guys that you cycle through. And if you miss a couple of kicks and that costs you some games, then it gets you Leonard Floyd. Then it gets you, you know, your draft picks to go grab Khalil Mack. Like that's all that really mattered. Now, though, there are expectations. Now, though, you've got to ask whether or not things are good enough in order to win the football games that you need to win. You went 12-4 last season, and you missed a couple of kicks on the way there. It could have been better. If you miss a few next season, just with expected regression, with a defense that comes back to just, you know, maybe it's the fifth or ninth best defense in the league as opposed to one or two, then you may need 3 points here or there on the field.
It shouldn't be like this, and the Bears have...
Not like this.
Not like this. They've made this into a thing whether they've wanted to or not. And I want to know what else they knew, where they knew that Chris Blewett was the guy to go.
There's too many camp practices left. I mean, they could have, I mean, if they're just kicker X and replaceable guy this and replaceable guy that, you let them go for the next two mini camp practices and you let them throw up more kicks, right?
I guess
that makes as much sense as letting a guy go with two practices left. It's very difficult to ascertain the logic that's going behind this. Not to say that there isn't any, It's just to say that it's a very difficult task to find out exactly how they're thinking about these kickers.
Yeah, I want to get back to what you said, though, about how it affects other players on the team. When everybody's standing around watching, when it's this shared experience, when Nagy says whatever's going through your mind is going through my mind,
yeah,
that goes for everybody out there. And it can be really internally draining to know that all of your efforts can be for naught because of the failures of that guy. Or is it the opposite? Or is it motivation to say, let's just score all the touchdowns,
all the points,
and prevent all the touchdowns,
right,
and then this guy doesn't matter?
Yeah, I think that's probably as much as anything else. It's funny you ask it that way, because Matt Nagy talked a little bit about that, about the mindset of things. Here's more from yesterday.
They went back to back to back, and all three missed. And so they're being evaluated not just by you, not just by me, but by their own teammates. You know, again, do you make it or do you miss it? And we missed three today. We missed three today. So for us as evaluators, if they all went 3 for 3 today, we wouldn't be talking about it, right? But at the same time, what's real is they didn't, and that's why we're talking about kickers in this situation, because we missed. So we gotta just keep trusting our evaluation of these three kickers. And it's not just one person. It's all of us together. We talk it through, and we figure out, and we do everything we possibly can to make sure that in the end, when we get to the very end, that we have the right guy there.
How much can you do?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. Nagy says we're talking about this because all three missed. And in this particular instance, he's wrong about that. Because if all three kickers make, we're talking about that too. The reason we're talking about kickers is because of the many decisions that led the Bears to this point. About letting Robbie Gould go, about going through three no-name kickers before that who were all chip shot artists, about making Cody Parkey, a chip shot artist himself, one of the highest paid kickers in the league. We're talking about this because pretty clearly the Bears' evaluation of the kicker hasn't been good enough. So like the kicker himself.
They keep bringing in more people to help do it, and outside coaches and consultants, and we have people offering their services as consultants, and it all ends up rolling into this big ball of dumb.
It's bizarre.
It's a really weird sports story. John and Joliet, you're on Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Good morning, guys. You know, last year when Parks would miss one, I would say, oh, well, you know, maybe next time. But as it got worse and worse and worse, I mean, this year, like you guys have, people have been saying, high expectations, nothing less. And we're worried about a field goal kicker with 84 days left till kickoff. I mean, their fans are going to, they're going to go ballistic if they lose a game. And God forbid it's a Super Bowl because we don't have a field goal kicker. It's just crazy that this is our biggest concern right now, and we're not worried about something else.
Oh, they're worried about plenty of other things.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Makes you feel better, John.
Spread some worry around.
Forget the Super Bowl. How about the first day of training camp when anybody misses a kick?
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And that's
out
the thing.
There watching it?
Yeah, I love the fact he's literally counting the days.
It's on the Tribune every day. You know, they're doing their countdown.
I know.
So you just flip it open and you know.
Great, though, that he's got 84 days.
I think, too, it's not going to be the kick in the Super Bowl that bites you. I mean, if you don't have a field goal kicker, you're not getting there. Right? I mean, if we've learned anything else, if you don't have one, you're not getting there. John mentioned expectations. You mentioned expectations. Matt Nagy mentioned expectations as well yesterday. You'll hear a little bit more from the Bears head coach and a couple of good texts on the Bears kicker issues, too. Mike Florio is going to join us at 10. The national media has noticed what's going on with the Bears and their kicking spot. We got all that to do, plus recapping a bit of a rough Cubs game and one pitcher who has not gotten himself together the last week and a half.
No, he's barely one step better than Hellenbrock at this point.
It's been rough. It's Bernstein and McKnight with lots to do today. It's 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and McKnight, we're in what we're calling the Culinary Studios And that's because it's usually the Intercom Culinary Kitchen that is our temporary studio, as they are building us new and state-of-the-art digs where we usually do our broadcasting. But it's Sports Radio 670 The Score here on this Wednesday hump day. If you didn't stay up later for the Cubs, you didn't miss anything. They got their dongs knocked in the dirt again, and it was ugly. The reliever that they brought in to help stabilize things as presumably a high-leverage guy is just bad.
Yeah, Brad Brock has been anything but good lately. He's just been knocked around consistently in his last few outings, and he said after the game, too, that he feels like he's got great stuff, but it's getting barreled, which is never a good place. He needs a come-to-Jesus meeting or something. He needs to find religion. I mean, he's searching for it.
I know you got some bear stuff here that we're going to continue with, but the 773 texter, thank you, SkyPoint, picked up my Helen Brock reference. Although this can't be right, because the texter says, I used to go horse riding in Harm's Woods by Old Orchard with my grandpa, and he'd point out where Helen Brock was buried every time. She wasn't ever found.
That doesn't mean they didn't have a burial.
But she wasn't. She's not in anything. She disappeared.
Yes. Apparently, she disappeared. I didn't know who Helen Brock was, so I read up on
an heiress. She married into the Brock Candies family, and
she was an original Brock.
Apparently got involved with some shady horse race scam artists that targeted elderly women with these, you know, fake ideas of they would buy like $3,000 claimers and then try to pass them off as $100,000 horses. It was all a big scam, and then she ended up disappearing. They think they know who did it, but that person's dead anyway. But anyway, thank you for getting my Helen Brock reference to the disappearance from 1977.
Appreciate it. Yes. That is right. Top-notch stuff.
Interesting.
So we've talked quite a bit about the Bears kicking situation, and there are all kinds of conspiracy theories from fans and outside observers alike, some of them crazier than the next, which is kind of what you get when you're in a scenario like this. I think, and you illustrated this when we started the show, there's a craziness to it because of the expectations that are on this football team. And it's not just from the outside, it's from the inside as well. Matt Nagy talked a bit about not being afraid to say the word Super Bowl, to say that phrase and let everybody know that's something they're interested in competing for and winning this season, while trying to keep things in perspective as much as possible.
Last year, when we got together, we talked our very first meeting on April 3rd of last year, and we talked about the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. Not many people in that room believed it. If you don't talk about it up front and you don't set a goal, then why are you here? Why are you even, you know, you're playing for other motives? Well, the goal is that. That's every team's goal. But now how are you going to attack it? And there's no predictions. There's no we're going to do this, we're going to do that. No, that's not it with us. But it feels good because we have good players. We feel like we have a good team. We did it last year. But last year, that's gone. We're going to use it. But when we walk out on the field against the Packers week one, it's a new year. And there's a lot of expectations from a lot of different people. That's my job to make sure I corral that and I keep those blinders on that we've always had on, and we focus on week one. We don't worry about week 16, 17, 18, et cetera. And I welcome that challenge, and I know our players do too.
I mean, he's all about saying the quiet part out loud in a good way. In maybe the best way I've heard from a Bears coach in a really long time.
He demystifies a lot of this stuff.
You almost have to. And that approach, you know, has kind of been sprayed to all fields. You know, with every issue that has popped up for the Bears, it seems as though that consistent approach by Nagy and by the front office too, you got to imagine that those two are fairly in lockstep about how to deal with some of the issues at hand here. You talk about it, you say it out loud, you admit the pressure, you understand it, you kind of deal with it that way as a team. But when that team pressure, when those expectations land on one guy, and it happens to be a position that you don't have yet, and it happens to be a position that you haven't evaluated well yet either, and by the way, it's a position that is less like a football player than maybe any other on the team, then it becomes this strange search for something that other teams haven't gone through in any way like this.
Would you consider looking at the math of never kicking a field goal? of just every single time always going for it, and just like the guy, there's that college coach, that like D3 college coach that never punts because he's figured out, he's solved the math of this. He doesn't have a punter on the roster, and they set all kinds of scoring records.
I'd consider it.
I mean, just as a thought exercise.
Yeah, I'd start to consider it.
If you go back and you look at some of these situations and say, what if, because it's, you know, you gotta convert, you know, 90% of your kicks anyway for these. That's what you expect. I mean, the reason you do it is because you're banking on those three.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're not going for it every time, then certainly become the most aggressive team in the league. You know, and just be that 70% team or whatever it is. Go above and beyond the expectations of kicking field goals. Go ahead and convert your 4th-and-3, your 4th-and-2, and just be aggressive with it. I wouldn't mind it at all. You've got the coach who's willing to do it. You saw how many times he went for two. You saw many different formations and players he's willing to use. There's a certain amount of aggressiveness that's baked into this Bears team right now. It just is.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are on the score from 9 a.m. to noon Monday through Friday, but sometimes we are out and we are among the people, as we will be next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, June 18th and June 19th, this show will be out at Gallagher Way to celebrate the start of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. 670 The Score is going to be broadcasting from 9 a.m. until first pitch at 7:05, brought to you by Wintrust, presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. And we on this show are going to have some opportunities for you to maybe win tickets to that.
Yeah, some games that you might be able to
head
to.
Yeah, so definitely stay tuned for those opportunities. And stay tuned right now for Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, who's going to join us next to give us a national perspective on some of this Bears ridiculousness. We're going to talk about the team that has been unveiled as the subject of the next HBO Hard Knocks and more. Plenty of football talk straight ahead on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.